One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress.
It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to part two of this week's Clash of the Titles, the podcast that pits two movies with loads in common in a fight to the death to see which one comes out victorious.
Against each other.
So what am I saying wrong there? No, let's do this. Let's do this.
All right.
Right. Two movies against each other in a fight to the death.
Because what did you used to say?
The pitch two movies. You just say that pitch two movies in a fight to the death. It needs to be to pitch two movies against each other in a fight to the death.
Or puts two movies in a fight to the death.
Cool. Nearly 5 years in a fight to the death.
This is all staying in, by the way.
I'm good with that.
Take two.
Hello and welcome to part two of this week's Clash of the Titles, the podcast that pits two movies with loads in common against each other in a fight to the death.
Lovely.
To see which one comes out victorious. We spent Monday's episode hanging with Steve and Linda, which means today we're chilling with Troy and Lil.
I don't want to say her name.
It's Lelena.
I don't want to say it. I'll never say it right.
Lelania. As we head to Houston, Texas for Ben Stiller's directorial debut from 1994, what does reality do? Reality bites.
Hello, you've reached the winter of our discontent.
I'm making this documentary about my friends, but it's really about people who are trying to find their own identity without having any real role models or heroes or anything.
It seems like your friends would be perfect for that.
I truly believe that if we can get two women on the Supreme Court, we can get at least one on you, Sam.
I lost my job. Why did you get a job at Burgerama?
So which film in this week's Will They, Won't They War will be victorious? We'll have a winner at the end of the show, so let's get it on. Welcome to Clash of the Titles.
Kraken.
Hello, Clash Butters. Hi, I'm not a practicing virgin. I'm Alex Zane.
I'm Vicky Crumpton.
I'm Lelena.
Lelania.
Very good.
Is it Lelena?
I just said to look at him.
I'm just checking with Chris. Is it Lelena, Chris?
I think so.
Oh, okay, thanks for that. Let me just write that down. That's really useful info. Brilliant. Welcome to part two of Singles versus, don't look at me like that, versus Reality Bites. As you well know, the end of this episode features the verdict. Where we will declare which is definitively,
come on,
just chuck it over to let Vicky carry on now. Come on, Vicky,
we'll declare a winner.
Can I jump in?
Yeah.
We all agreed we would dress up in 90s clothes today.
Yep.
Vicky,
thank you.
You're looking very 90s.
Do you love it?
It looks
look
good.
And the jeans and the shoes.
Yeah.
And Chris, also the eyeshadow, but you wouldn't.
Is this 90s?
Yeah.
Flannel shirt.
Yeah.
It's better than what you normally wear.
Yes. Yeah. He's already said that to me. Yeah. So I wasn't sure. Because I haven't changed what I wear from the 90s to now.
Okay.
I just wear the same shit.
Yeah.
So flannel shirt.
Flannel shirt, yeah, but it's also because you've got the t-shirt underneath. Very 90s.
Can roll. Alex, same as usual.
Yep, same as
black
usual.
Black t-shirt.
So on Monday,
that black t-shirt costs more than your monthly salary.
Probably.
Pennies, actually.
It's... Yeah.
Right then, on Monday we were singles and today the reality of our situation has dawned on us. V, take us on a journey.
Generation X, explain yourself. Why do you think you are so Generation Exceptional that you can buck the very system that facilitates the privilege you're claiming to be appalled by and want no part of? Your dad owns a fucking factory, Lelaina. Wake up. Different times, I guess. A time where yuppies were real and dicking around stoned off your nut in a corner shop is what passes for charming. And HIV looms large. And the times being what they were, this film explores a health condition which disproportionately impacts minoritised communities through the prism of the straight white woman's fears. Ah, well. So Lelaina and Troy are the worst people you've ever met, living with Vicky, who seems okay, but she works at Gap and goes to jeans seminars, so yuck to Vicky. And Sammy, whose character is nice and gay, and that's that. Into Lelaina and Troy's eye-fucking festival wanders Michael, who's instantly charmed by Lelaina because she likes fizzy drinks and falls for his whole "we're just made of stars" bullshit chat-up routine. Michael wants to make Lelaina rich and successful, which is gross, until she's skint, and then it's fine. Except Michael turns her once-in-a-lifetime cinema verite, no holds barred exploration of a jilted generation into something else, something good. So she runs back to Troy. His own chat-up style continues to be borderline abusive. But then his dad dies, so he turns up in a suit all sad and vulnerable, and we all know what that means. Previously hidden depths in a person who says things like, "Hello, you've reached the window of our discontent," with a straight face, will be opened up to her and only her, and they can live together on daddy's money, tumbling off furniture during sex because 90s, leaving snarky messages on answer phones in isolation, which is where this pair belong.
Very good.
That was hard.
That was very good. That was very good.
Thank you.
It's pronounced Lelaina.
Lelaina.
They sometimes call Lelaina, so I'll do that as well. Mm. Right then, when did you... this is your first one.
Never seen
it. I can't believe it.
Never seen it.
Did you fucking hate it?
Fucking awful.
I knew it would get you because you... you 10, 15 years ago, you'd have seen Troy and you'd be like, "Oh, I see you, man, and I get it." But now you... No.
You love Troy. You love Troy.
Oh, my God.
He loves Troy.
I hate Troy, which scuppered this entire movie for me. Yeah. And I was like, because I really wanted to enjoy it.
Yeah.
And I kept trying to find things about Troy that I could relate to or empathize with, and I can't. He's awful.
That's good. He's a dick.
Awful. He's the worst.
I'm so pleased for you and you.
Yeah, I mean, I watched this at the time. This and Singles felt like equally big moments for the youth movement. So I'm amazed you've not seen either. I'm amazed you love one, didn't hear of the other one. These sort of it carried equal weight with me.
Yes.
Except this was more my music. You got bands I actually would go and see live on this soundtrack.
Yeah.
And but yeah, I found Troy to be so annoying when I was a kid.
Awful person.
That I found the film to be annoying.
Yes.
But I've tried to think about him a little deeper this time.
I mean, I found it annoying. It got me, as in, like, so basically, I saw it when I was at college, but the characters in this film are 10 years older than me. So I was 13 in 1994. And then by the time I saw it, I was probably like 19 or 20. So that does make a difference, that sort of cultural shift. And having spoken to people who love this film, I've never been like this, but I think people that see themselves in Lelaina, but actually specifically Winona Ryder and everything she embodies, are like, "Oh, she chose the wrong person," or whatever. And it's like, no, she didn't. She's fucking terrible and Troy is awful and they end up together and that's absolutely fine.
But also, isn't it the kind of story where when you're 13, Troy is the dreamboat, and then when you actually grow up, you realise that Michael's the dreamboat?
No, because...
In the same way that we're supposed to be liberal when we're younger and then we become more conservative as we get older.
Apart from Ben Stiller has cast himself so brilliantly because he is the most asexual, non-attractive, attractive person that you've ever met in your life. You don't want to have sex with this man. Not now. Not when you're older. Never. And that's really important. Well, it is to me. So you can't be with him because there's nothing there.
Ben Stiller is hideous.
There's zero spark. So it's good that he gets to move on with his life.
So no one fancies him.
He's work-focused, though. Like
but he's not attractive. But he's an attractive person, but there's just nothing there, is there?
I thought people fancied his character.
No, not me.
Yeah.
And also, I was a big fan of Generation X by Douglas Coupland. So I was pre-made to like this film.
I like the Pepsi advert with the Spice Girls where they were like, generation next, generation next, a generation.
That's nice. So let me show you this picture. This is me, right? So I found it, putting away the wedding pictures. So this is me, and I can't believe it, but I've thought about it. And now the reason I think I'm 13 or 14 is because I'm wearing a short skirt, but I'm actually wearing it, not wearing it, quote marks, ironically, which is what I would go on to do.
Wait, so you actually... You can't
wear skirts, ironically.
You can.
No, you can't.
You can. I haven't got much makeup on. And then the minute I get to like 14, 15, it's just like a lot of like glitter, little sort of stickers on my eyes.
Building
up
too much.
I don't know how to
what
react
did you
to
just
this.
Say to
no, building up too much.
Oh, right, sorry.
What did you
now
think?
She's about to, she's about to jump across the table.
Oh, my God.
Can you believe
don't be shy.
It?
I know.
Come wait, on, we've got to be quick. Wait, yes, people can't see this.
Hang on a second. Holy shit.
I know.
Oh my God.
You can't believe it. I think I'm being told to go back upstairs and put some fucking clothes on.
Bless you. You look like a nice person.
I was a nice person.
No makeup.
No, not. And I think I've got braces, but you can't see them. Mm. Yeah, that was me anyway.
Wow.
Yep.
So that was you when you watched this film?
No, I didn't watch it then. I watched it when I was older. But that's me when this film was out. Right. So, like, that's just 90s me. All right, so I'll tell you a bit about it, shall I?
Yeah.
All right, so written by Helen Childress. It's her first script. It's directed by Ben Stiller. It's his directorial debut. Everybody's so young and full of promise. Mm. She based it on her life and her friends. That's unbearable.
She called it Baby Busters.
She did. It was Untitled Baby Busters Project. I don't know what that means. She lived with Stacey Scher, who's the exec producer on this. So it's all based on, like, you know, she's living with people and her little friends are not, like, coming in and out and
was
whatever.
Was one of her friends called Troy?
Yes, he sued her. Did you know that?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fun, isn't it?
I don't know how they sorted it out because all that is out there is that she wrote him a letter going, this isn't based.
I don't think that would do it.
No, right?
I think if you spent money on the lawyer, like, I'd need that back at least.
There's definitely been a payout.
Yeah, there must be.
She's definitely had to pay him money. But
I didn't read that, but
there.
I did. I just read settled, so I assume money. Reality Bites, you'll be interested to know, was not meant to be Reality Bites, as in reality is shit. It's meant to be a riff on sound bites. Reality Bites, as in little snippets. Not.
Is it not a double meaning?
It can be, but that's not what she meant.
Oh.
But you can read it however you want to read it.
Great.
As I always say. So.
Titles can be more than one thing.
Is that an impression? Of me.
No.
Anyway, Winona Ryder basically made this happen because you've got to think where you are. She's a huge big deal. She said that she saw herself in Lelaina, and that might have been what her life was like if she wasn't a massive fucking movie star, which she is and was. And then anyway, that's what it gets the green light off the back of. She casts Ethan Hawke. He wasn't this huge fan of Ben Stiller. He thought he was, quote marks, a clown. But in the end...
At this stage, what had Ben Stiller done? He'd done the Ben Stiller show. Right, okay.
They're all on YouTube, the Ben Stiller shows. Mm. I watched a bunch of them about 6 months ago. This is shot very much like the Ben Stiller show. And Janine Garofalo is like the second lead in that as well.
So Janine Garofalo gets this through Ben Stiller.
Yep.
And Ben Stiller eventually casts himself, which I do think is the perfect move.
Yeah, because originally this character was much older and not a TV producer. He was doing something a bit more boring.
Right.
But I think it's better that he's younger. I think because if he's in his 30s, it makes him much more creepy.
Creepy, weird.
Whereas if he's around her, just a slightly bit older than her, then he's a genuine possibility.
And he's a different version.
Which is important. Yeah. I hate those films where one's so obviously a villain. Yeah. Where there's an actual choice to be made, I think it's much more interesting
it's
storytelling.
It's Wayne's World. Okay. It's Cassandra. It's the guy, Rob Lowe's character.
Yes, it is. Yeah.
Janine Garofalo's part, Gwyneth Paltrow auditioned. Nope. Parker Posey, strong.
Yes. Oh, love Parker Posey.
I know,
Posey.
Me too. Yeah. And Anne Hesch, also no.
Parker Posey's the only reason I've watched Blade Trinity more than once.
Did you know that Janine Garofalo got fired when she was making it for dicking around? But they took her back, obviously, because she's
but
in
you
the
can
film.
Fire an actor who you've hired for dicking around.
It sounds like you can, yeah.
I got fired from Rosencrantz and Guildenstern are dead at university for dicking around. So, yes, you can.
That's a new story.
Yeah, there you go.
I didn't know you tread the boards.
Oh, yeah. I was playing Hamlet in it.
I knew it.
And I got fired.
For dicking around?
Literally dicking around in rehearsal.
Did you think Hamlet was the lead? You thought Hamlet was the lead, didn't you?
You saw it, you're like, bingo.
It's because there's a line in it where Hamlet has to go buzz, buzz. And I thought it was really funny to go buzz, buzz. and pretend I was a bee.
And no one else did.
No. Well, the other actors did, but they don't get to hire or fire.
The director does.
She didn't find it funny.
Did you get taken back, or was that the end of your theatrical career?
That was the beginning and end of me being an A-lister right now.
God, imagine where that could have gone if you'd not dicked around.
Seriously. I honestly think I'd be like Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
I see you as more of like a John Sims, and that is not a cuss, actually.
I see myself more like a John Cusack.
Do you?
Yeah. The only guy who's ever scared Danny Trejo.
I always forget about that. Because there's nothing in his eyes.
Dead eyes. Like a shark's eyes.
Right, so we will talk about music. So, Ethan Hawke and Lisa Loeb, they're neighbours. They went to the same they worked at the same theatre company, or were in the same theatre company. She plays him Stay. She's an unsigned artist. He gives it to Ben Stiller. Ben Stiller puts it on the credits. So this was a huge big deal. I knew the song before I knew the film. 100,000,000%.
Well, yeah. Yeah, if you didn't see it when the film came out, this was number one for like 4 weeks. Yeah.
What's the song?
Are you joking?
Stay by Lisa Loeb. It plays over the credits. It was number one for 4 weeks.
When I want you, don't listen to her.
It's the most... Stay by Shakespeare's Sister?
No. It's the most beautiful, annoying song.
Don't pay attention to the...
But did you like this song when it came out?
Yeah,
but then it just got overplayed and like I couldn't imagine listening to it again.
I tried to do it at karaoke and it doesn't land. I mean, very little does, but it really doesn't.
Did you ever put up the karaoke video of...
No, don't!
...of Sia?
I mean, it's sitting there waiting.
Please.
Did I put it up?
Please
I
don't. Don't do that. Don't hold me hostage.
No, I think we did. I think we agreed and it did go up.
Russell, Russell, Gary, let us know.
No, not let
us know. She was the first unsigned artist to go to number one in the charts.
Mm-hmm. Which is amazing. And I would strongly recommend this podcast that I go on to you about all the time called 60 Songs That Explain the 90s with Rob Harvilla. There's an episode all about the song.
Our listeners have just gone down. They only have so many subscriptions.
Anyway, so the real Troy, he sued her. They get settled. It's fine. It premieres at Sundance, had a bit of a moment. There have been a few goals at turning it into a TV series, which I can see. I think that's probably impossible, to
Friends.
Be honest. Yeah, basically. And then there's this alternate ending they blow up the BMW or something. It's like, that's not very exciting. Slightly more exciting is it was the 25 year anniversary and they got some of the cast together and they asked Winona Ryder, where are these characters now? And she believes that Lilena and Vicky are in a same-sex relationship, which I think is nice for them.
It's interesting.
Yeah, but she wouldn't be, would she? Because Helen Childress said it's about her, so a sequel would be about
whatever
her and her husband.
Doing, yeah.
No, it's said to be about me and my husband.
Yeah, having a nice life.
Yeah.
It's interesting that you said on Monday about Cameron Crowe adding the bit where it pulls out to the cityscape and everyone's having the conversation, because that feels like an ending. This doesn't have an ending.
No, it doesn't.
It just sort of...
stops.
Yeah, I mean, like, obviously, I'm tainted by the fact that Troy is in this movie. So.
did you watch that anniversary Q&A with all the cast on stage?
No, I've read a lot about it.
It's quite funny. There's some fun stuff in it, but it's Ben Stiller saying over the soundtrack. Obviously, he's talking about Peter Frampton doing Baby, I Love Your Way. But they said you can't have the Peter Frampton version. You've got to have the Big Mountain version of it on the soundtrack. And he's genuinely pissed off that that went to number one, even though it helped their film. He's like, why is there a reggae version of that song in my film but and on our soundtrack?
Because it's really good.
I mean, it is quite good. But, I mean, literally, it's about the Peter Frampton version. Anyway, I just thought that was funny. It was like, it was angry Ben Stiller being very funny.
So that's it. We can talk about the film.
Can we?
Let me just open this.
What's this one then? What's it called? This is a Sun...
Hello! That's a chair. That's like my son.
Oh my God.
Oh my God, he's making beer now.
Thank you, Nikki, giving us this beer.
And Chetty, thank you so much.
Thanks, Nikki.
That's so thoughtful.
That's very kind of you to bring us beer.
Beer leads to more beer.
All right, so here we go. We are Generation X and we hate grown-ups. Lilena has graduated. She pleads to the class. How can we be different? She's such a hero. She only takes her daddy's BMW to do him a favour, I would say.
I like this restaurant scene. I wish there were more scenes like this. I like the broken-up parents. I think it's good. There's stuff to be explored there that isn't explored. I'd rather be spending time with them and seeing their relationships, their new partners and how they interact with each other than these awful people I have to spend the rest of this movie with.
The opening scene, though, hasn't aged well in terms of the music.
No.
It's Gary Glitter.
Oh, yeah. It's hard. That's a big riff. It's so...
I know. I wonder how many films it was in.
Do you know what? I'm just going to say it.
Hang on.
You're not going to come out in support of Gary Glitter.
No.
Alec, please don't do that.
I cannot do a Christmas without listening to another Rock and Roll Christmas at least once, so I'm sorry.
Okay.
Okay.
That's it.
That's all right. Anyway, so... I was going to do this very snarky thing about Lelaina all the way through, but I'm really torn. So on the one hand, I think it's fine to find her ridiculous because the final scene of the film does rip the piss out of her because it gives a power back to Michael a little bit. But so many people love her and love what she represents and what she stands
Why?
For.
Why? What?
I don't know.
If you tell me what people love about her so I might be able to understand
The sort
it.
Of whimsical, doesn't know her place, the fact that she's got two men to fight over.
She's two hot men. She's got her principles. She's anti-consumerist. She's anti-materialism. I don't know. There's an authenticity, I think, to Winona Ryder playing the part as well.
The only part I like.
I'm not
Troy
saying
in
that you
movie.
Have to like her no. or see yourself in her, but a lot of young people
yes.
did.
Yes, and they love her. I think she's an
in the same way that if you'd watched this when you were 12, you would have fucking wanted to be Troy.
Maybe. Maybe that's true. But I like Troy only in the scenes where he calls her out for her bullshit. Those are the only moments in this movie where I go, oh, actually, that's fun.
Yeah, it's that sort of negging thing that you tell me is a thing. Like,
I don't think he's negging her. I think she's judging him and he's proving
to her. Well, how about when
her...
he says to her now, we all know you where you slept to the podium. We all know you slept your way to the podium. She's valedictorian of her class. And we're supposed to go, that's hot.
No, he's joking then. She's in on that joke.
Okay.
She's definitely part of that. Mm.
Like, when he pretends he wants to kiss her, he's definitely negging her then.
Yes.
Anyway, we'll get there. See, I don't want to jump
in. Someone understands negging. Someone doesn't.
What a bastard.
She's never been negged.
So, to establish, right, the kids, the people that live in this thing, they're not all grown up, but they're trying. So Vicky's having these one-night stands, but she writes it down in this childish diary thing. And Lainey's got a grown-up job in TV with Fraser's dad, but she's rubbish at it. So they're trying to do, I'm just trying to do adulting, like,
Fraser's
kind of thing.
Dad.
Is she rubbish at it?
You've watched the new Fraser, haven't you?
No, you, Chris, did.
Oh, and you said it was not good.
No.
Right.
Grant Gubler. Is she bad at her job? I thought he was just a massive bastard.
Yeah, he is a massive bastard. When she starts,
her on
she's
her looks
bad.
And
she
things.
Forgets something at the beginning. So you're Does supposed she? To think, oh, okay. charming how crap
Fair
you are
enough.
At this,
Fair enough.
I think. Anyway, she's all charming and whatnot, but who, in their right mind, throws the end of a lit cigarette anywhere, let alone into somebody else's car? Yeah. That is not acceptable. Yeah. And I think Michael is very forgiving because she tries to set him on fire and make him crash.
Yeah. Is he thinking, hello?
I'm in there.
I just don't understand the logic.
She owes
me
one.
She flicks a cigarette
yeah, I love that.
onto a CD case and suddenly it bursts into flames.
Who knows? Movie logic. At the same time as Michael and Lainey are having their thing, Troy moves into the maxi pad, which I do find very, very funny.
Turns it into the den of slack.
Yeah, he's in a band. He smokes a lot. He'll stuff brownies down your face. Hot? Unsure? Don't know. Seems a bit physical, a little bit aggressive.
I normally, when I see smoking in films, it makes me want to smoke.
Yeah.
In this, they smoke too much. It made me feel
me
sick
too.
How much they smoke in
I
this film.
I agree with you. Yeah. So that's it. So the friends, they all get a bit baked and they go and dance to My Sharona. Annoying. We've all done something like that
God.
And it is annoying.
That scene was on MTV all the time as well. These are two MTV movies and I just feel I can never hear My Sharona again because I've seen that 30 seconds over and over and over.
I will say that one does land in karaoke. I don't do it with you two for some reason, but I've done it before and it's a good one.
It's very realistic.
That's nice, isn't it, by the way? It tastes like caramel. Yeah, it's nice.
I was like, wow.
Shit, that's delicious.
It's amazing.
They're all super hungry, though, and it's very realistic when you see the food that they're picking up. None of it's actual food. It's the shit we would buy at 2 a.m. when you were, like, 20.
Now then.
My friend, I'll just use his first name. My friend, when we were kids, we were about 14.
Yeah.
So he went down to our 24-hour garage in Leeds, and he wanted to buy some pornography, but he didn't want it to seem like he was buying pornography. So he also bought a block of cheese disguised as a pornography purchase. He went, I'd like a copy of Fiesta. And a block of cheese.
Yeah, well, did he wrap the cheese in the magazine? Then that works.
That's so weird.
It's like putting fish in newspaper. Kind of.
Steady on. Right, anyway, date night for Lelaina and Michael. Now imagine you've taken someone out to dinner and she says to you, I'm making a documentary about my friends and you're a grown-up with a job. I think you should run 1,000 miles from that place.
No, because we're on the crest of the wave of the real world.
Yeah.
He works for an MTV ripoff and the real world... Did you watch The Real World?
No.
Yes.
It was addictive.
Yeah.
It was massive.
It was huge.
As a young person, I just wanted to be hanging out with those people.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't, but I understand.
It's a takeoff of that, but that's what was working at that time.
Yeah. Well, he has his revenge
what
anyway.
What he does with her video is way better than what her video is. Her
1,000%.
Video is shit home movies
yes.
about awful people.
Yeah.
He makes them funny.
Yeah. But and he gets a sweet tie-in with Pizza Hut, so good work, I think.
And I don't think the film's saying that what she did was the brilliant thing that she thinks it is.
No, I don't think so.
It's saying that she's a bit of a Wally, this anti-capitalist, anti-sell. I mean, and obviously the film is full of product placement.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like we're laughing at her as much as we're laughing at his work.
I think you're allowed to laugh at her, aren't you? Because
yeah, I certainly do.
And I think I think
Helen Childress is having a little bit of a dig at everyone in quite an affectionate way, because she knows that she was and is that. I mean, she wrote it when she was 20, so she was living 20, in that world.
Yeah, she was 23 when it came out.
I just can't believe she knew a guy called Troy Dyer and she decided to call the character Troy Dyer.
Because she was 20 and she was doofus. Like, try harder. He will take you to court. Yeah. So Michael, I would say, has his revenge because a few moments after the old I'm making a documentary about my friends moment, he's like, I love stars, that means I'm a very deep thinker. And that works because she's like, yeah, stars are so cool. Whatever, I like drinks. So apparently that's it.
A bit of Peter Frampton, a big gulp, and she's his, basically.
Yeah. Yeah, she is. And then doesn't Troy walk past them doing it in the car?
It's very strange that, you know, we talk about stalkery moments. Troy's very slowly walking past them, taking out the rubbish maybe, but having a good old look.
Yeah. Now, I do love this scene because it really hurt. I don't think this has ever happened to me, but when he's like, I'm in love with you, joking, you're like, oh, you motherfucker.
Like, he tells her not to flatter herself.
Yeah. It's unbelievable.
It's a really nasty thing to
It's really, really awful. It's so, and she comes out of it with a bit of dignity. He doesn't. But what a dick.
Are you fancying him here though?
No, I don't fancy him because I find him annoying. I mean, he's good looking, but he is annoying.
I thought you might come here and say you fancied him.
I'm glad you didn't. Yeah.
I'm thinking back to Paul Rudd versus Heath Ledger.
Which I surprised you with that.
Oh, not really. What was the result?
Not really. The result was you said.
I reckon every girl will say Heath Ledger and every guy will say Paul Rudd.
So you were like, Paul Rudd or Heath Ledger. I was like, that's not even, I can't believe you're even asking me that question. Yeah. It's obviously Heath Ledger.
Right.
And then you were like, that's ridiculous. It's like, what we decided is
we didn't say that's ridiculous.
All the boys want to hang out with Paul Rudd and all the girls
want to fuck Heath Ledger. And I wondered if that was the same here. Because I want to hang out with Michael here because he's got his Dr. Zaius. You know, that's like my bedroom.
Oh, my God. Have you watched the Frozen Empire trailer?
No.
Ghostbusters Frozen Empire.
I have! That's a lie! Yes. Yeah, call it Ghostbusters. I have seen it.
And? Initial reactions from the biggest Ghostbusters fan in the world. The connection is Paul Rudd's in it. Go on.
The initial reaction for me is it looks like the ice is the main character and that makes me concerned, but I'm along for the ride.
I am positive about that because of when Ice chases Jake Gyllenhaal in The Day After Tomorrow.
So Ice has got game.
Ice can actually be scary when it chases him down a corridor.
And I keep pinching us doing Cool as Ice with Rebel Without a Cause.
Yes.
Vanilla Ice is a terrific actor.
His best work is in Madonna's book Sex, where he's got his hand down her pants.
Oh, yeah.
Weirdest thing in the world.
Have you seen that Turtles movie, though, where he's got his hand down Michelangelo's pants? That's weird.
You babies.
It's weird because they had to put pants on Michelangelo, who doesn't normally have pants.
Wouldn't have said that joke if I didn't know he was topping up. I knew I'd get a rise out of him.
I think on that note, we'll have a short break.
Life is full of what-ifs. Some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot,
we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Peter Frampton's dad taught my dad to box.
And didn't David Bowie teach you? No, wait.
Yeah. He taught David Bowie to box and do art, and he taught my dad boxing and art.
Does your dad box?
He did at school.
What?
Yeah. And he told David Bowie to continue the music and art and told my dad to call it a day.
There's only room for one David Bowie in the world. So.
No, but when I spoke to Duncan, he said this teacher really inspired my dad. I said he kind of inspired my dad, but just in a different
to do
way.
Something else. Okay. Yeah.
In a different universe.
Yeah.
There's no David Bowie. Ted Tilly.
I know, I've spoken to my dad about this at length.
And rightly so. So where are we? Little bit of mawkish documentary footage. Fraser's dad hates that, so Lelaina anchormans him. Then she gets fired.
Yeah. How did you feel watching that?
I loved it.
Watching a man keep reading what's written down, even though it's incorrect. Did you see a lot of yourself in that character?
Listen. I spend time scripting these episodes.
Yeah, I know.
I love the fact that you two pretend that what you're saying is coming from your minds and I haven't written it. This is an entirely scripted hour-long show.
It's not that big. I know you're putting a lot of work. No, I know you're putting a lot of work, but it's when your script says, my name's Vicky, that it makes me feel weird. You know I'm going to say it. I'm not going to be like, what now?
I've had to adapt it because now Chris just introduces himself as Chris.
Oh, bless you.
Oh, my God. I'm going to switch it up. I didn't even say Chris
today.
Don't
switch it up. He'll break.
I said Lelaina today. And it's funny, I think, I thought of you as well, that this film's all about the worst thing you can do is sell out by working for MTV. There's my boy. He did it.
Oh, yeah, Vicky. Now,
Vicky was there where a friend of ours who we used to live with, when I played my first VHS cassette of an MTV show, went, "You've sold out."
Yeah.
It's so funny to me.
Yeah, I do.
Like,
I was so excited for you.
Yeah, me too.
Which is the normal reaction. Yeah. I got a job on MTV. I was showing you my first show, and another stand up comedian was like, "Ugh."
Yeah.
So you've sold out then.
This is the difference.
And that's these people, though, in this film. They have the same belief system. It's funny, when she showed it to her daughter not that long ago, Helen Childress, her daughter, and I have heard this before, her daughter said to her, "What's selling out?"
Yeah.
Because it's just not a concept. The new generation, the younger people, it's all about getting sponsorship on TikTok and being an influencer and all that kind of thing.
I think the 10 years between me and these characters means, like, something for real world example. You're on MTV and I'm not like, dude, you sold out. It's like, this is awesome. If Michael comes to you and says, I'm going to put your shitty documentary on telly and make you loads of money, our generation will go, that's incredible. Thank you so much.
It's a weird thing, isn't it? Like, the selling out thing is still a big thing for me. Like, someone asked me, I was asked to do a reality show I was like, to me that is selling out. I was like, no. And someone at my agency was like, it's not the same as it was. You're judging this from the wrong perspective.
It's a problem, isn't it? I'm asked to promote a product on my social media. I can't bring myself to do it and then get given it for free or whatever.
Yeah.
Because it still feels in my head wrong, whereas the rest of the world's moved on from that.
They do it all, yeah.
Because I feel like my voice and my reputation is all I've got, really. And once I've given, I've sold that.
So true.
All right, Troy.
I'm the most real thing you've got. What?
I'm actually too real.
Well, there's a thing, though, that they say that, like, critics are getting paid for positive reviews.
Oh, yeah.
And the moment someone does something like that, it fucks it for everyone.
Yes,
and it's like,
trust them.
It's a frightening thing. Mm. Whereas this podcast...
This is real.
If you give me 50p, I'll say whatever you want.
Arguably, I actually think you've got a point. Maybe this is too real. I think maybe we should pull back from the reality.
I think we've crossed the Rubicon ever so slightly.
Just start pretending more.
Just be a bit more professional, I thought.
That's the word I was looking for. I knew it was a P word.
Anyway, I do think it's interesting here. I think it's a good, a well-written argument between best friends that Lelaina insults Vicky about the Gap thing because she's like, I don't want to work at Gap. And then later on, she has another go at her, which is like, you've always been waiting for this to happen. It's like, you selfish, spoiled little bitch. Your friend is being super supportive. She's a good actor. She doesn't play the sort of endlessly supportive, like... In Singles, Linda's got a very... I think she's her assistant in the end, but she's just this character who's only there to go, I will do, you know, I'm here to support you no matter what, which is super boring. Whereas at least Vicky's got like a bit of something going for her. But it's a good argument where it's like she's projecting like, Vicky's life is sorted, Lelaina's life is not, you're jealous, no I'm not, blah, blah, blah. I thought that was really well written. This is weird. She keeps talking about her and Troy being best friends, but they were never best friends. She's like, I've lost my best friend.
I think they are. I think they're those best friends that are horrible to each other because they're secretly in love.
Yeah. And then,
when Harry Met Sally, isn't it?
Yeah.
A little bit.
So the thing is...
That's a great movie.
Oh, that's what a film.
We've done it. We've done it.
We can't do it again.
You can listen to that episode.
We should do it again. But anyway... Her having said that her and Troy are best friends, I don't see it. But now she's down, and so he takes her for a walk. And that is a nice thing to do for your friend. And then they have that nice chat about you, me, and... Well, he talks at her. You, me, and $5 is all we need. And that's quite, like...
That's famous.
Seductive, yeah.
I was Googling quotes from this movie, and that's everywhere. That's
Some good acting as well. Yeah. They're good actors.
And I also think now he's like, he tries to get off with us, and he's like, I want to evolve. And she, which is code for have sex, but she doesn't want to do it. And then it might be because of Michael, but it is good that Troy has acted like a prick, but at least he's normal here. He says, this is what I want. Using the term, I'd like to evolve, I think it's quite smart.
He's real, dude.
He's real.
He's too real.
Sorry, wait, you think the...
he's saying to her, we're friends.
Asking for sex, if it's pitched as, I'd like to evolve.
I think it's quite clever.
You like that?
I think I would say yes.
Excellent, interesting.
I'd like to evolve my penis.
that would seal the deal, quite frankly. So anyway... Michael, he wants to put her work on the telly. He wants to do her a massive favour. She's so desperate to avoid this. We have the, quote marks, disastrous job interview montage. Because she will not say yes to this amazing deal, which is baffling to people of our age, I think.
So you've got Andy Dick in this.
Oh, God.
He turned out to be a dick.
No.
Define irony. That's Ben Stiller's mum who says that.
Yeah. Is that what it's like when you go for a job as a journalist, though? I've thought of you. Because isn't she trying to get a job on the news or something? Like a serious thing?
Yeah, you'll get a writing task, probably. So really? It won't happen in the room.
So
I'm saying probably. People are doing them for me right now.
So definitely.
Definitely. I can't speak for 1993, though.
And I still can't believe you've made me do a writing test.
No, we just needed diction from you. We've got David Spade managing Wiener Dude.
Yeah, fun.
And she can't get that job. It makes me think of... I once applied for a job at Opta.
What's that?
It was the beginning of football statistics, and the job would have been to count corners and throw-ins in a football match, and I didn't get the job.
Are you joking?
I was like, how am I not qualified for this?
That's madness.
I mean, it might have driven me mad as well as a job, but it just felt very doable.
Yeah.
Is that what you said? Don't say that when you go in. This is piece of piss, by the way.
No, I was just in shock.
I'm in shock for you. What's the worst job you ever didn't get? I can tell you a horrible story.
I've got every job I've ever applied for.
Okay, that's fine. I once went for a job when I was really broke and I was really low and I just was so desperate for money, and they were opening up like a new cocktail bar in town, and I thought it was a job. Like, I thought it was like, come along, talk to the bar manager. And when I got there, I realised it was more like an open audition for hot women. So I was like, what the fuck am I going to do? So I was like, well, I'm here now, so I'm just going to wait it out. I can't finish that story.
Tell us.
It's so awful. So I'm in the queue and everyone there is fucking gorgeous. But I was like, I'm 19 at this point. How bad can it be? But I'm wearing like massive trousers and a jumper or whatever. And I went in and this man was like, nope, turn around. And it's like, oh God.
Oh, my God.
Oh, it makes me want to pull my skin off. It's horrible. I wasn't hot enough. More fool them, because I am.
When I open my bar, I'm going to give you a job.
Thank you.
You were so hot.
And you were so hot before revenge.
Right, let's get back on track. So,
sure.
Lelaina runs up a massive phone bill because she's an entitled child, and then she steals from her dad.
Talking to Ben Stiller's sister on the phone.
Stuff like this, this turns weird things that I think are just throwaway gags into subplots, and it's really boring.
It is boring. When Vicky's like, you now need this exact amount of money to pay the phone bill. Boring. Has a huge go at Troy. Now, here we go. I love stuff like this. I love it, hate it, love it. So Troy's there and he's brought that girl home from wherever.
Who married Brendan Fraser.
Really? Yeah, just...
Wait, which one?
Janine, Troy's girlfriend.
Yeah, you know, he brings her home and she doesn't say much.
No.
But Lelaine is having a massive go at him.
Yeah.
So this is, you're like, okay, I need to show sexual tension. What am I going to do? Here's the blank page. So you just write an argument. And sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. I think it mostly works, but I think she has a big swing and it's a bit of a boner kill, I will say, when she's like, you're going to end up like your dad, by the way. And it's like, we're trying to have eye sex and you've thrown in the dad. I think you've gone too far, Lainey, to be honest.
She's trying to hurt him as much as she can.
No, she's not. She's trying to flirt with him. It's so obvious to me. Anyway, not sexy. Mistake. So,
so obvious to you, pal. Yeah, so obvious to you, even though it doesn't make any fucking sense. It makes no sense to me, but it's obvious.
Just give me a minute.
And those sisters are definitely lesbian.
It was more the way.
Oh my God, get over it!
It was more the way it was said. It was more the way it was like, it's so obvious to me. But you added to me, when what you meant was, it's so obvious to everyone because I'm telling you it's obvious.
Doesn't make sense.
I think that's true. I'm just trying to be polite.
Yeah. No, and you haven't understood it.
So Vicky is terrified of HIV, so we do all of that through her thing. It was a weird time, to be fair. So I think it seems really entitled now, but it's very, very different times, so fair enough.
Yeah. I don't know. It feels like they want to stick an issue in there. I think that's a bit forced and it doesn't... I don't know, I don't like the way it's played out, but the stuff with Steve, Sammy rather, Steven's aunt, is even worse, I think.
Oh my God, yeah. He's robbed, basically.
Yeah, because like, suddenly out of nowhere he's gay.
Yes.
And we've got a subplot about him telling his mum.
Yeah.
But this is a film about young people having sex, and he's the only character that doesn't get to have a sex life or even a kiss or anything. It's so it's just chucking it in for the sake of it rather than actually... wanting to use that.
Yeah, I agree.
Wanting to have it be, you know, have a bit of everything.
I think
here.
It's a really privileged thing to do. Like, you know, just sort of white lady thing to do, and I don't like it. So, Michael. Now, the thing is, he's gone and taken her tapes to In Your Face, but she did ask him not to, so how do we feel about that? Like, he did it without her permission. Is that cool? Not cool?
I mean, I think it's fine. I don't have a problem with it.
It's something that people do.
Well, now that she's skint, she thinks it's fine as well. Like you said, Sammy comes out. He's been celibate, horrible waste. And then Troy and Michael have their little set too, which is, have I stepped over some line in the sands of coolness with you? Because excuse me if somebody doesn't know the secret handshake. Yeah, I like it.
It's a good scene. But here, you see, this is the thing. Because I think you as the viewer are meant to be like, ugh. Troy's the cool guy here. And you're watching it going, I relate to Michael more.
He wins the argument, I think.
But it depends. Troy does in that moment, I think.
I think it might depend how old you are as well, Alex.
Oh, sorry, yeah, because he says...
I feel like he does.
Yeah,
he definitely wins.
I know what to give her in a way that you never will.
Yeah. I know what she needs.
But I tell you what I liked here. So Michael's like, I know what she needs, whatever. And she's off to the screening with him. She's thinking... might want to keep my options open here. Best thing to do is throw Troy a look that's like, I'm going, but I don't really want to go. Just in case when you get home, you need him to be available. I was like, player. Player's going to play. Good for you, Winona Ryder.
Is this what you wish happened in the film rather than what actually happened?
I saw the look. I am not blind. I saw that look. She's like, oh, I'm going to go.
I love this Ben Stiller stuff, though. The stuff that we, you know, I'm sure, and I think Hanchura said that he helped out with bits and pieces on the script, but made sure that she retained credit, which she felt very happy about because that didn't happen a lot of that time, still doesn't. But there's certain little moments where now we know who Ben Stiller is, it feels like him, like when he says, hey, what is your glitch? You know that that's something that Ben Stiller has come up with because that's just how he talks. And also, this is a performance. Like, this is the first time we saw him like this. He's given this performance a million times and I always find it quite funny.
Yeah.
The guy that's just a bit uncool and he's not quite there.
He's not quite got it.
No, he's not quite got it, but he thinks he has and he's desperately trying.
And he's super likable. Like, you can't hate him. He's like one
of those ducks that sort of the legs are going under the surface, but on top he's trying to stay cool.
And huge props to the wardrobe department, because when he turns up at the bar that Troy's playing in later, the outfit he's got on, the leather jacket, it's too new.
It's
literally like, I'm going to a rock bar, so I need a leather jacket.
How many leather jackets do you need on a trip?
Asking for a friend.
Is this about me bringing so many leather jackets?
I'll tell you what, boys.
I brought leather jackets to Austin because I didn't realise it was going to be that hot.
How many times did I tell you?
Yeah, you anyway. Do need to listen to him about that. It's a famously hot place. Yeah. Anyway. You're fine anyway. You sweated it all out, didn't you? That's all right. Yeah. Lost about 2 stone in sweat. So we see the tapes. As we've said, we all think her documentary now looks watchable.
It's fucking great.
It looks fantastic. Does he get a thank you? No, he doesn't.
How are we going to change everything? Pizza, pizza, pizza. Great.
So then Lelena is sad because, and this, who you are when you watch this depends if this makes you want to kill yourself or you love it. I was really going to be someone by the age of 23. I don't mind that. But when he's like, sweetheart, honey, he uses a word that is
honey. He uses honey.
Honey.
Yeah.
All you have
I noticed
to be,
that. It's weird.
It's really weird. It makes him seem much older. All you need to be by 23 is yourself. And it's like, so there's truth there, but it's just a weird power thing when he calls her honey. I don't know, it just feels a bit... He should be unsure about himself, and he seems very sure of himself.
I think it's a very clever move by a guy who is trying to insert himself as potentially the person you should be with without actively saying it.
Yeah.
Because it's using a really familiar term that you would use if you were a couple, but you're not a couple, but you're basically sowing the seeds in her mind that... No, this is what it'd
options,
be like if we're
again,
a couple.
Options open.
It's clever.
Very clever player.
Have you read the game?
I haven't. Every time you say it, I think of the film and then I get really excited and then I realise you're talking about something noxious and awful.
Very similar to the film.
Anyway, so these two, they bone, which is like movie boning, where it's all like, you know, we talk about this a lot, or I do, where it's like, she's never had a penis inside her ever. So it's like, oh, this penis! Ridiculous. But they're the worst one of that is 7. I can't believe that. They're a married couple. They've done it before. And she's like, oh my God, it's amazing. Watch the sex scene in 7 again. You will not believe it.
How did we get onto that?
You mean the movie where Brad Pitt's looked after at the end?
Are we talking about 7?
Yeah, sorry. You've tuned out for a bit.
Welcome back.
What
the fuck?
What were you thinking about?
Troy. I was thinking about whether Troy's the villain.
What are you thinking?
Is Troy in the... Oh, don't. Have you finished yet? Have you finished yet, Ricky?
Is that it? How do I know? What do you do? Do you give me a signal? Is that it?
Is it in?
Is it a liquid thing?
Or
will you just tell me?
Tell me if it's in.
Well, I think we need to take some time off from each other. I think we've crossed a line on this episode. I think even though you don't realise it right now, you've created some mental images, both of you, that are going to be difficult to undo.
Oh, I like that. That's on notice. I haven't done anything.
I heard a podcast where the host says to Ethan Hawke that he was at college when Reality Bites came out and he hated Troy with a passion. And Ethan Hawke throws it back at him and says, is that because Troy was shining a light on you wasting a lot of your time being a jock and watching sport?
Oh.
And this bloke was a bit speechless.
Yeah.
But Hawke said that the character obviously pissed a lot of people off even then. He said, my problem was everyone thought it was me.
Yeah.
And so people just thought I was this massive dickhead when I was... He said the hair was me, but the character wasn't.
I still kind of think that, but it's really unfair.
It's unfair. He said that it was the second time in his career that he felt like he'd created a character.
And
that
everything was explorers.
He's very good in that. Yeah, no, the first one was explorers.
So anyway, he runs out on her, it goes to a gig.
We need to end this show.
I know, but I'm doing it.
Just race through it.
So in the bar, she's got to choose. Troy...
Explorers should not have got that big a laugh. My problem is that...
Yeah, it's not that funny.
No, exactly. And that's why this show needs to end soon.
Sex is the quickest way to ruin a friendship, someone says.
Yeah.
Harry and Sally called. They want their dialogue back. Fucking hell.
But then anyway, hold on to your knickers because Troy's about to say, you can't navigate me. I may do mean things and I may hurt you and I may run away without your permission and you may hate me forever. And I know that scares the living shit out of you. I'm the only real thing you've got, you gaslighting piece of shit. Basically, I'm awful and I'm being really honest about that so you can't have a go at me later and you cannot do better than this. Unbelievable. Unbelievable scenes. Anyway.
Good use of you two. All I want is you, though.
Yeah. I do like the scene where it's Troy and Michael in the street and Troy's like, we all die alone because I'm so deep and whatever. And Michael says, and it is a shame this is the last we see of him apart from his video at the end, but him, he's like, well, who are you here for then? Like, what is your deal?
Great
I think
moment.
That's really brilliant.
Really
yeah,
good moment.
Love that. So then we get a being glum montage because Lilaine is like on the hook because this abusive, manipulative shit has worked on her. And then here he is, classic rom-com beat, a parent has died, which is going to give you hitherto unseen deaths. And that's going to make you a good partner. You're going to be all sensitive now. You're all exposed. You've got a planet of regret on your shoulders, mental. He loves her. He also needs somewhere to live, I've noticed. Again, player. And that's it. So then we get a bit of comic relief at the end. Michael gets the last word, which he deserves,
yeah,
taking the piss out of this pair, and yeah, that's it.
So he created the show. This is where Evan Dando
right, I didn't see
up.
This bit.
Karen Duffy and Evan Dando are in a reality show called Reality Bites, and the last thing is created by Michael Graetz.
And they're really awful people, and she's smoking constantly.
I mean, it looks like the real world.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he got the last laugh, kind of.
And that's it, we're out. So we'll do the bits then, yes?
So one more thing. Helen Childress's daughter at the end turned to her and said, why didn't she pick Ben?
Oh.
So she was in that corner.
And she said, because you don't want to have sex with him. That's the answer.
Yeah.
is that what you've got? Is
yeah.
that it?
Yeah.
All right, fine. Right.
Wow. Get us through this.
Right, fine. Let's do the bits then. So, Chris, what was your best scene?
I like the doily scene where Troy and Michael argue in the apartment. Yeah. I think the best scenes are between those two having a go at each other.
Weird,
isn't
it?
Yeah, it feels intense and it feels real. And him saying, I think I know what she needs in a way you never will, really feels like a fucking burn. So, yeah that one.
And you?
There's a great scene. I think you mentioned it. I think Chris expressed how much he loved it in the moment. And they're in a gas station dancing to My Sharona.
They're so funny.
It's so much fun. I love that song.
I know,
song.
I love that. I want to hang out with them. Yeah. Seriously.
No, it's the same scene that Chris picked.
Mine is the bar scene where she's got to choose and Troy says that I'm a dick, but you love that, by the way, so fine. What's your most valuable whatever, Alex?
Ethan Hawke in the movie Explorers. No, honestly... He created that character, and that was the first
and
time.
What a character.
This is the second time, but that was the first time. And I don't think he'd have been able to create Troy in the way he did if he didn't. It's Steve Zahn, genuinely.
Yeah, he's really
and
good.
I'm just putting it out there that whenever we do a movie on the show with Steve Zahn in it, I will pick him as my MVW because I think he's absolutely fucking phenomenal.
Yeah.
I love him in everything he's ever done.
Yes.
Steve Zahn.
And you?
Oh, we need to do Sahara. Carry on.
Oh, I would like to do that.
I really like Ben Stiller in this film. Ben Stiller, the actor, more than Ben Stiller, the director.
Mm-hmm.
Although, I watched the Roger Ebert review of this film, and he says they're under the impression that if you point your camera at friends and idiotic things they say, you've got something and it's television
got
or a
podcast.
Movie. Yeah, and you've got fucking reality TV, and this is all about to happen. So.
He wasn't right all the time. That's the thing about Roger Ebert.
Oh, they hated this film.
Mine's also Ben Stiller, the actor. I think he's cast perfectly because you don't want him to be a villain because that pulls focus from the story. If you feel too sorry for him, that pulls focus from Lilaina. This love triangle thing, which is really what it is, only works because he's nice, but there's zero sexual pull. And so she's 23. She needs to be shagging. You do not want to have sex with him. Or you will do, but it's just not the same. Troy and Lilaina don't make it. That's fine. But they have like 2 years of like hotness. Great. Mm. But Ben Stiller is the reason that all works because he plays like a sexual nothing. Terrible thing to say, but I think he does that very well. Not a terrible thing to say. That's judgy. Who gives a shit?
Hey,
anyway.
Ben.
Sorry, Ben. I mean, I'm sure he's really smoking hot in real life or whatever.
And I know you're saying that no one fancied him in this film. I reckon there must be at least one person beyond Helen Childress's daughter who
I've
thought
checked.
He was the one.
No, there isn't.
Yeah, no, Vicky.
Well, I've got one at least.
Helen Childress's daughter.
Yeah.
She didn't say she fancied him. She said she should have been with him.
Yeah, yeah.
That's different.
She knows about security. She wants to look after herself in the future.
Yeah.
Not that she finds him.
What would you change? No, yeah, you. Yeah.
Fine, fuck it. Yeah. Right. I really wish Troy had finished the second song his band played before he chases her out of the bar.
Why?
Because it's way better than I'm Nothing, which is awful. But that second song was kind of upbeat, had an upbeat tempo. So there's that. And also, I think that Lilaina and Anna should have been presented with a check. I think there should have been some financial amount that you understood that this show had given her this money when she was skint, and she then had to, on screen, make the decision between her art
and actually capitalism.
Yeah, that's good. I mean, I think it's implied, not that it's the same, but because she buys the dress. I think that I bought the dress with the winnings from the thing.
Oh.
But maybe I'm reaching. I don't know. What would you change?
I know he's too cool for school, but Troy needs to make some kind of romantic gesture at the end to win her over.
Rather than just being awful.
Yeah, I know it goes against his character, but the
I thought he'd killed his dad. Yeah.
Losing a parent can't be the sexy thing you do.
In all rom-coms it is, though.
Yeah, but so that would be my main change. The other one is when she's asked to define irony, she should say it's like rain on your wedding day.
Oh, lovely.
Wait, had it come out?
No.
1994.
She would have been ahead of the curve.
It's like 10,000 spoons, whatever it is.
Actually, maybe. All you need is a fork.
Maybe it had come out. It doesn't matter. It's just a great example.
It's a traffic jam. You're already late.
And then the woman's going, that's not even right. You can't work here, you dummy. Mine is, you're like this, let's see Sammy come out. Because he's robbed of that mum and he's going to come out to his mum and you don't see it. You see the aftermath and you see him reflecting on it. Mm-hmm. But he's a brilliant actor. He's really robbed of a big, not an arc, but like a big scene. He's just nice, gay, supporting person. So when he comes out, can we not see him do that with his mum and see what happens in that room?
Yeah, and Steve Zahn's a brilliant actor.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So he's too on the periphery and he's really underused. And I think not to give him his big moment that's in there anyway, it's a bit criminal.
He does so much with so little in this film.
Yes, he does. And that is us dunzo.
Right then, it's time for verdict.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
Cool. So my choices this week, because obviously I'm a big fan of both these movies. Mm-hmm. A lot of nostalgia. Let's go with you first, Chris.
I found it much harder than usual this week, though.
Okay.
Normally it's easy. Drag Me to Hell, obviously, was easy. I flip-flopped a lot. Singles Meanders.
So
much. Hasn't got the music I like.
Much.
Reality Bites has music I do like. But it's a film about selling out that sells out by featuring all those songs designed to get on MTV. And it takes the piss out of those songs and of anti-consumerism. And then there's product placement. All that stuff. I hate that. But you know what? I'm picking Reality Bites because there's some tension in that film. There's a conflict through that love triangle. There's just more going on. Whereas Singles, I like it and I could watch it, but I can't get my head into it. So I'm picking Reality Bites.
Wow,
that's one vote for Reality Bites from 1994. Ben Stiller's directorial debut has picked up its first vote on Clash of the
Titles. Last vote, can I just say? It's also picked up its last vote.
Well, we'll see. Really? I'm going to hand it over
to
Vicky Crompton.
I knew you were going to say that. Thank you so much. I was certain that there was no way that anything could beat Reality Bites because although it's bananas and irksome, it's got a special place in my heart. Time Capsule. It has got an unabashed pride in being itself. You can't embarrass this film. This film is unembarrassable. And then I watched Singles and it charmed my socks off. Aww. Now, this could be because of the tendrils of feelings I have towards Friends, because it is Friends, but a movie. But also, I did want to spend time with them. They're less obnoxious than the kids in Reality Bites. Mm. I have no issue with the ending of Reality Bites. I think Lelaina gets what she deserves. But I think the film wants you to like them, Lainey and Troy, and that's actually impossible. You can't. They're dreadful. And the Singles kids aren't dreadful. And I just found it. It's just, I don't know. I don't think Cameron Crowe should be so upset about it. It's got a tiny little bit of magic in it somewhere. So Singles.
What a piece. Singles and Reality Bites. I get the casting vote on a week when I pick two of my favourite movies. So I agree with Chris. I don't think there's a lot between them, actually. I know I've been quite hard on Reality Bites, but actually it's very close. However, it comes down to something Vicky was talking about for me, which is relatability and empathy. Which of these two films features a character that I could connect with? Well, I didn't really connect with Troy. I think he's a bit of a dick. I've met that guy and I've hated that guy.
You are that guy.
And I'm not Troy. I'm Steve. I am Campbell Scott.
Thank you.
What a lack of self-awareness.
The character.
I'm fucking believable. You're picking Singles. Quick, just do it.
Your face.
Just pick Singles. Just pick Singles. Come on.
Singles. Right, we have a winner. And the winner is...
Oh, God.
Good. I'm glad.
Right, Singles is our winner. But don't forget, you have the chance to tell us how right, or probably with regard to everything on this episode, wrong we got it on our poll. It's a poll.
Do we have to put these episodes up?
Why not?
Okay, fine.
Yeah, so go on the old Twitter account there, at Clashpod, and you can vote in the poll. Right, let's look ahead to next week. Vicky gave a clue on Monday, which was...
And the band played on, and then they played on again.
And what are we doing next week?
We are doing A Night to Remember, which is old and is on ITVX and Apple, so have a look for that. And then Titanic, which is... on Disney, but it's also in your brain the whole time because you've all seen it about a million times. I'm saying that sad because I watched it last night and I'm still crying about it. And
really?
I think there's something wrong with me.
So I'm halfway through. I just stopped. Oh, my God. And I'm ashamed. No, it's not ashamed to say. I'm liking it more than I thought I would. I really was not looking forward to watching it.
It's fantastic.
It's that Cameron guy. He knows what he's doing. Right then. So it is... A Night to Remember versus Titanic next week. In the meantime, do subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, Apple, Spotify, other. And tune in on Monday when we are going to be talking A Night to Remember. A big thank you to our sponsor, Pale Ale. Have a lovely weekend. Bye-bye.
Clash of the Titles is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com. Code PROGRAM.